Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again. And I am extremely excited to get back into where we were from last week. And for those of you who don't know me and who don't know what this show is actually about, I want to make sure that you know that this is a Hebraic journey through the Bible broadcast. And, of course, my name is John Wesley. And for the next 30 seconds, or 30 minutes, actually, it'll be a little bit longer than 30 seconds. But for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to be your co-host. Having a little fun with that one. And I'm a Messianic pastor, a Messianic rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truth hidden deep within the perplexing questions that, or deep within the New Testament. But we're going to answer some of the perplexing questions that, from a Christian perspective, it tends to cause problems because we're disconnected, if you will, from our Hebraic roots. So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and introduce, and I have the pleasure of doing so, to introduce the other side of this co-host team, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to say that it is truly a blessing to be able to share the word of Yah each week, answering the questions for the New Testament believer from a Hebraic side. This is our 34th show, and we will continue to answer the question from last week dealing with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And, of course, I'll go into detail in a few minutes. So I'll hand it back over to you for our opening prayer, Rabbi John.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Father, first of all, I am excited, and I thank you for that excitement and that jubilee comes from you and not from me. It's not a euphoric false sense of joy. It is you. It's the Ruach HaKodesh, and I just thank you and ask your forgiveness for any sin, iniquity, and transgression that you've caused, that I've caused you first and foremost, and that others have caused me. Father, I ask to, and I choose, I make a quality decision to forgive them. I actively pursue that act of forgiving them for sin, iniquity, and transgression. Father, I thank and praise you for your Ruach, for the Holy Spirit that comes in and abides and abodes, that cleanses, that purifies, that comforts, that really just does all that you are called and are calling for us to do in this earth, on this time, in this period. So I thank you and I ask you, the teacher, being the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to begin to take over, to begin to just give the audience what they need. You know where they are, and you know what's on their heart and what's in their heart and the burdens that are there. So we just submit to you so that you can begin to deal with those burdens right now in Yahushua's name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. And so welcome again. We are continuing to answer the question that was submitted last week, and it, of course, our chapter, supporting chapter, is Romans 12, verses 1 through 4, and we're answering the following. How can we properly cleanse ourselves as living tabernacles unto Yah in order to host the presence of Yah as it relates to the items found in the tabernacle? And the reference was the brazen altar and the brazen lair. And Rabbi John, one of the things you said, and I made a note here, was that when you are to wash or cover your sins. In other words, when we wash ourselves, we have to be very mindful and careful that we don't look upon or judge anyone else's sin. And you were very detailed about that. One of the other things that you gave us was how the brazen altar and the laver are in the outer court. And so you began to tell us that there's a difference, according to Romans 12, verse 1, in the grace and mercy versus the righteousness of Yah. And so one of the things you were helping us to understand is, can we meet his standards in us on any given day? And so one of the things that you were also going to tell us is medically how to, be clean. How are we to apply the mercy, Yah's unmerited favor to ourselves? And so another thing was that we have to understand that Yah's grace and mercy is different from Yah's righteousness. and that we are a soul, not a spirit. And so in cleansing ourselves, it's dealing with our mind, our will, and our emotions. And you also gave us a good example of Yeshua when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how when he prayed for those 3 hours, the first one he dealt with the mind, the second one was the will, yielding to Yah's will, and then the emotions. And you gave us detail on how the demons like to possess a body or come into a body through the emotions. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. That was fantastic. Well, let's just jump into a little bit of what we were talking about last week and then begin to move that a little bit forward. But we can't stay away from, and we can't not start this without going into that template. That template is that we are soul. If you don't believe that you're soul, then of course it's going to be impossible. I mean, let's be honest. It's going to be impossible for you to answer the question and apply that question to your life. It's going to be impossible. We did talk about 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, and I think you read that also last week. And in that, it was talking about unrighteousness and was talking about when we make mistakes as believers on this side of the water immersion, on this side of salvation. And it's imperative that we understand that that redemption that takes place, it takes place because of the fact that what we're doing is we are answering the question in our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind has to be full of who and what God is. And I'm going to begin to give you some scripture so that that scripture can begin to wash you in a manner of speaking and begin to give you a preface, give you a reference point, okay? And I'm going to read these just because I have them available. And then what we'll do is that Evangelist Tanita and I will come back and begin to talk about these before we go any further. But this is just some scripture from the cross reference from Romans chapter 12, verses 1. And the first one just really ministers to me. The first one just really sets the tone here, and that's Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. And I want you to listen to this, and as I go down here, you just kind of get your own mental notes, because I want to hear what it's saying to you, you know, spiritually as well as we discuss it. Okay, but it just really begins to rivet an individual if you really meditate on what I'm saying. So I'm not going to say it fast for this particular scripture. I'm going to go kind of slow, but I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Mm-hmm. And it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own passion, out of all of the peoples who are on the face of the earth." I'm going to read that again, because I'm telling you, when I read that for the first time, it just was like, wow. You know, it was like, you talk about a high calling in him, high calling in Christ Jesus. It doesn't get any higher than this. It says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord," or to Yahuwah, your Yah, "and Yahuwah has chosen you." Now, you that are listening to this, he's speaking to you directly.
Mm-hmm,
he has chosen you to be a people for his own passion, out of all of the peoples, all of the tribes, all of the nations, who are on the face of the earth. Now, we know that he was talking about the children of Israel at that particular time. But through Yeshua, we all can identify with this. Not just the DNA Israeli. We all can identify with this. Okay? All right. Psalms 15:14 says, "Offer to Yah a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." I'll read that one again. Psalms 50:14. It says, "Offer to Yah a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." And don't always think about the vows being only monetary. Because if he's giving you gifts without repentance, and he's giving you irrevocable gifts and calls them up upon your life, and things that he has spoken to you that he's calling for you to do for him, that's a vow. That's a covenant. Okay? Romans chapter 6, verse 13. And it says, do not present the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to Yah as those who have been bought from death to life, and present the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. So He's literally saying here that you've been bought with a price, and because you've been bought with a price, and because you've been brought out of death, He is the one that you need to serve. And the parts of your body need to be instruments for Him. Now, as we continue to go down, you're going to hopefully begin to realize that, hey, this whole cleansing and how to cleanse myself before the Lord, it's almost apparent. It's almost a innate ability that if I get out of the way and allow the Spirit to move in me, it will automatically do that. It will automatically give Him the praise, the honor, and the glory that belongs to Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, Do you not know, that when you offer yourself as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one that you obey? You are slaves to the sin leading to death or to obedience leading to righteousness. And so when you tag those two on, you begin to get the picture. And this is all in Romans. The last two have been on Romans chapter 6. Okay, the first one was 13 and this one was 16. So now I'm going to scroll down and begin to speak about, or just read, Romans chapter 15, verse 16. And it says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. And this is the call and the purpose that was given to Paul. Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of Yah, so that the Gentiles might become an acceptable offering to Yah, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That was Romans chapter 15, verse 16. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, this is another powerful one. I mean, this one has some rich nuggets in it as well. And it says, I appeal to you, and this is Paul speaking to the congregation at Corinth. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Yeshua, that all of you agree together so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be united in mind and conviction. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Okay, this one is probably the familiar one for most. This is, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify Yah with your body. Now, this one is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, and it says, now, I'm getting a glare, so it's kind of hard. There it is. Now, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold when away. And this is Paul having to bring correction, but he's trying to get them to walk in the meekness and in the gentleness of Christ Jesus, so that they can present themselves holy and acceptable. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, as a prisoner in the Lord, then I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have received. Philemon chapter 1, verse 9, and this is Paul speaking to Philemon, obviously. I prefer to appeal on the basis of love, for I, Paul, am now aged and a prisoner of Christ as well. And this is, of course, Paul speaking to Philemon about an individual that was in prison with him that had ran away, that was a slave of Philemon. And Paul had helped Philemon come to the Lord. And this prisoner was learning so much from Paul while he was imprisoned with Paul. And so it was time for the prisoner to be released and to go home. And so Paul was wanting Philemon to accept, to forgive, first of all, for the gentleman running away, and then accept him not only as a slave, but also accept him as a fellow brother because of the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he already had, that he had gleaned from Paul. So that's what that particular one was about. And let's go back up to the beginning one. And Minister Tanita, I'm going to let you kind of share your heart, and we'll kind of collaborate a little bit, if that's okay with you, pertaining to this. And I'm going to read it again, and it's in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. And it says, for you, and I'm just going to say for you, Evangelist Tanita, you are a holy person to Yahuwah, your Yah. And then Yahuwah has chosen you to be a people, to be a part of the people for his own passion out of all of the peoples who were on the face of the earth. I mean, what does that, when you begin to allow that to permeate inside of your being, what does that begin to cause your emotions to feel?
So the first thing that catches my attention is the word chosen. And I always think about many are called, but few are chosen.
Yes, ma'am.
He chose us. And I also think about what he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And to me personally, he told me, he said, we had a conversation before you were formed. So you had a purpose and a calling. You were already chosen. Mm-hmm. Your path was set. And there is an assignment that I have you here to do. And so I look at that as he called me, he chose me. He deemed me as holy. But what I needed to do once I came into the earthly realm was to be reminded and to know what to do to stay clean, to be that holy person. Because my name has a meaning and my birthday has a meaning, as you've taught us with our chiastic structure. And so all of that forms that goes with the gifts and the callings that are without repentance, it all comes together about being that special treasure above all people. So you become a special treasure when you decide to meet the contract or the vow, the agreement that you had between you and Yahuwah before you were formed in your mother's womb. And so that's what I get out of it. And because we agreed in the spirit realm, when I became a soul like Adam and Eve, living soul. I forgot how it's, I know you can help me with how it's said in Genesis chapter 1. But when we became that living soul breathing, the Holy Spirit coming upon, you know, bring that breath of life, that we were able to, now we're able to try to figure out how do we transfer from what's in the spirit realm to the soulish realm, and that is us aligning ourselves with Yeshua as our Savior. He was our example of how to do it because he already struggled in the things in the soul. He already had to deal with some suffering, you know, even as it's pointed out, when he tried to move ahead of time in his ministry at the age of 12. So he suffered some things. So, but he was our example of knowing what to do, how to line up our will, our mind, our emotions, and to, you know, just fulfill the purpose and plan that we have here on earth for Yahuwah.
Amen. And just to tag on to that, one of the things that we have to understand is, God forbid, but we all from time to time are going to get dirty. It's no different than the natural. If any of us have had children or have been children ourselves, which you should at least be able to answer yes to one of those, that when you go outside, you're going to come back dirty. Now, you may not see the dirt, and you may try to convince your parents, look out now, you may not try to convince your parents that you don't need a bath or you don't need to do this or you don't need to do all those other things because you don't see, like, gross amounts of dirt or what have you. But the parent knows better. Well, Yah is our parent. The plurality of Yah is our parents, and they within one and one within them know better. So that's why even though Yeshua at the age of 12 went too early, and I mean 18 years too early, the fact that he had the eagerness and the desire to do the will of the Father was no different than a child going out getting dirty, knowing that the parent is going to say, you need to go take a bath, that the child goes and begins to prep for the bath without ever being told, okay, now it's time. Mm-hmm. If you can look at that analogy with Yeshua, he was just trying to take a bath a little bit too early in the day after he finished praying, you know, playing, correction. Mm-hmm. But we need to understand and we need to see that when we go and begin to do what Yah is calling us to do, as far as purifying ourselves, getting ourselves clean, getting ourselves back where we need to be, that by faith, this is what he wants, because this is what he desires, because this is what he's calling. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, he's calling for you to do this, so you have to add your faith with it, so that the supernatural manifestation of what God is wanting to happen in us with the cleansing will happen. Just by doing it, and when we teach, you know, pertaining to Torah, we teach about the hukim, the idot, and the mishpatim. And the hukim is, you know, the parent saying to the child, do it because I told you. Well, the child doesn't really understand, but he or she knows that if they don't do it, that there will be a force of reckoning on their back end that will help them have a earnest desire to do it regardless if they like it or not, okay? With that being understood, the idot is an aspect of being in the middle of training and watching and doing and conversing back and forth with him as you do these things. And, of course, the mishpatim is it has become such an innate ability within you. It's been birthed within you to where you don't have to be prodded to do it. It is your reasonable service, like it says in Romans, you know, 12. It's not just a reasonable service of someone speaking to you and saying, you need to do it, you know, or even in a nice way saying, you know, it's at that time, you know. But it's never having them to ever have to say it because you do it. You own up to it. You want it. You see the passion of it. You see the understanding and the love relationship between you and Yah in doing it. That is the manner in which we have to go into this cleansing. We have to go into the cleansing from a standpoint of this is what is the norm. The norm is to be clean. The norm is to be in right relationship with him, to be intimate with him, to hear, to feel, and to sense the Shekinah glory all around you. All day. All day. That should be your goal. Because understand this. Once you achieve that one time and you begin to see the fruits thereof and the fruits, you know, because remember, you know, when you begin to walk in Yah and to begin to walk with Yah, then the blessings of Yah tackle you. So as they begin to tackle you, you begin to say, hey, you know, this isn't so bad at all. Matter of fact, this is downright awesome. You know, like, let's do it again. And so it's automatically a robotic motion that you desire, you know, a body reflex starts to being developed where you desire to want to spend that time to make sure you're clean and to be able to allow the presence of Yah to come in and to be a part. Okay. All right, let's look at and I'm going to jump around here just a bit. I'm going to connect Romans chapter 6, verse 13, and Romans chapter 6, verse 16. I'm going to connect those together, okay? All right, it says, Do not present the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to Yah as those who have been, and it says, brought from death to life, and present the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Now I'm going to connect that with verse 16 now. And it says, do you not know that when you offer yourselves as obedient servants or slaves, here is what it says, but some translations say servants, you are slaves or servants to the one you obey. Whether you are slaves or servant to sin, leading to death, or to obedience, leading to righteousness. So just give me a quick synopsis because we're about to get to that mile marker of trying to regress down to more of a benediction type of closing, if you will. But I still want to get your thoughts on it, share mine, and then we'll go into that.
Yeah. Well, I will be very quick and direct. Obedience, of course, is life, is righteousness. Sin is death, unrighteousness. Obedience gives you clean, or it allows you to be clean, and then disobedience makes you unclean. And so that's quick, with, so that you'll have enough time to elaborate, is what I get out of that. You know, how do we maintain our cleanliness? And one of the ways is through our consciousness of repenting, making sure that we repent no matter what we think or assume.
Amen.
Repent of the sins, iniquities, and transgressions daily.
Amen. Amen. And that is a daily thing. I mean, passage of scripture that comes to my mind is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 through 13. And within that prayer, if you will, it became a daily siddur or prayer for the disciples of Christ, because he told them to always pray in this manner, or this is the format of prayer. And within that format was, forgive us our sins and our debts, as we, in other words, in relationship to the way that we forgive those who have sinned against us and caused iniquity against us. So a part of our cleansing right away is connected to how we forgive. If we have a hard time forgiving, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mean, and I want to make sure I make this clear, I don't mean that if someone does something wrong to you and the Father says, forgive them, but there are consequences that they have to go through. I'm not talking about the consequences, because they are in and of themselves a totally different dynamic than what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the fact of not holding a grudge. I'm holding to the fact of just releasing them unto God and allowing them to not be in debtor's prison from that aspect. Because by doing that, and when I say doing it, I don't mean doing it with a lip service. I don't mean doing it flippantly. I meant you do it with active faith, asking the Father to help deliver you from any bitterness that would happen because of what the person did to you or to your family. So with that being said, one of the other things that I want to make sure that we cover before we close, pertaining to these two passages that as my sister said, were very apparent, and is the fact that there's an obedience to one or the other. In other words, the obedience is so severe that, and I'm going to read the passage again in verse 16. It says, do you not know that you offer yourself as obedient slaves? So that means whether it's of God or not, the soul becomes enslaved to this thing. Let's not miss that. Oftentimes we think, oh, well, you know, I can control myself. Okay? You like sweets and you see a cookie there and you say, you know, I can control myself. Now, for some of you on this particular radio broadcast, you are aware of the story that I've shared, but most of you probably haven't, pertaining to my 61 repentances. And my 61 repentances, and I'll just start it and then we'll close with this, but my 61 repentances came all in one day. And it came because there used to be big cookies that you can get at, you know, Big Lots and some of these other stores. And my mom told me not to touch those cookies, and she was going to go someplace. And, I mean, why did she do that, right? I, knowing, being a good church boy, young man, I repented after every single cookie I ate. And I ate every single cookie in one sitting and expected my mother to forgive me. Now, we will conclude what happened on next broadcast. Until then, I'll pass it to Evangelist Tanita.
Amen, Rabbi. I'm sorry for laughing.
It was funny until she got on to me. It was delicious until she got on to me.
Amen. So I'm sure many of us can relate, and I look forward to, on a serious note, of seeing, you know, the do's and the don'ts of the 61 repentance of eating those cookies. And so for those of you that don't know, we are a Messianic congregation, and the ministry is named Beth Hashem Ministries. The website is www. BethaShem.org. That is BethaShem.org. We have a Facebook page. It's located on www.facebook.com/BethaShem Ministries. If you would like to attend the services, if you can email us at BethaShem@yahoo.com. That is BethaShem@yahoo.com. For those of you who desire to have a deeper or more in-depth Hebraic understanding, we have a college, and it's called Ruhl College. You can email us at office@BethaShem.org. And, of course, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you have questions that you would like to have addressed on the show, please email us at tjonesbts@gmail.com. Thank you, and I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Well, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for just the rich nuggets that you're pouring out, that you're allowing us to apply in our lives. Help us to fulfill every aspect of what and who you see us as, so that as, and in the same manner that Paul said, that we can fill out our chiastic structure and the responsibility of that chiastic structure and be the and fulfill the priestly duties that we all have within that chiastic structure. Father, we mm-hmm. praise you. We thank you. We thank you for traveling mercies for those who are traveling. And yeah. as they begin to get in their word and get in their time with you,
thank
begin
you.
To give them that reassurance so that they know that not only that you are real, but with them,
yes.
individually, you desire to be surreal. You desire to be greater and bigger than anything that they can imagine. In Yeshua's name, shalom, shalom.